safely laid ashore. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Everybody that lives about us says, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing round. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night, when just in time I saw the light. Yes, the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, He has shone a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
Hadn't worn out yet, and so still singing it. Open your Bibles to Philippians. Second chapter. Shining as lights is in a dark world. That's what the subject is this afternoon. And I'll begin reading in verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Somebody said that Paul must have been a Southerner because he says you all the time. Well, that's very possible there. I don't know, but it's a possibility. First of all, we're all children of God, and you've heard people say we're all children of God. We are all children of God, but only in the creative sense, not in the redemptive sense. Only saved, born-again people are children of God in the redemptive sense. We're to be lights in the world. We're to be lights in the world, and that's just where we're to shine in the world. Verse 15. This refers to the inhabited world in which we live, but it also refers to the world system under which we live. And all that is opposed to Christ. This world is against the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't make any mistake about it. They don't really want anything to do with it. And try their best to circumvent the gospel and to destroy those who preach the gospel, share their faith with others. It's all part of living in this old, wicked old world. And so we're to shine in this world, and we're to shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Kind of describes the times we're living in right now, don't you think? Perverse, crooked, and what a dreadful spiritual and moral darkness engulfs this generation of mankind. On every hand, it seems like there's an appalling ignorance of God. We're approaching that time where people are just biblically illiterate. I see that more in the North, naturally, than I do the South. But the South's catching up. And appalling ignorance of God and the things of God. And God's indictment against the human race, as recorded in Romans in chapter 1, is still in effect. You read chapter 1 of Romans and you say, man, this is like the hometown newspaper here. This is happening right now. And gross moral darkness covers the face of the earth. Sin abounds on every hand. And that's indicated by the increase in divorce, drunkenness and drugs, addiction, gambling, sexual crimes of all kinds, and corruption in general. And so, that's the picture of the world that we're living in right now. How wicked it is for these people to come into schools and just kill people, take their life for nothing. That's all from the devil, all from Satan. And notice that drugs, in almost all of the cases, drugs has something to do with it, because the drug Prozac can change your mental ability. I don't know exactly whether these people are just all off base or whether there's some systematic system of killing these people in these schools. And there might be more behind it than we know. Because you go back and they examine the history of these people after they've committed murder, going into movie theaters, and it comes to mind, and some of the other things that's happened, killing people. There's two things about them. In almost every case, they're into Satanism and they're into drugs. They're into antidepressants, Prozac-like. And Prozac's a drug that if you take just the right amount under the right conditions, it'll make you commit murder. We're living in evil times. Well, how are we to shine in the midst of all this? Well, often a lamp is ineffective because the wick needs cleaning, or the glass needs to be cleaned, so the lamp will shine brighter. And we can do some things in our own life so that our light will shine brighter. And we'll be the kind of witness that the Lord wants us to be in this present world. First of all, by not murmuring, verse 14 tells us. Now, the word carries with it the idea of muttering, walking around muttering. And how easy it is to mutter. And that's not involving anybody but ourselves. We mutter against the things of God, and we're thinking, well, this should not have happened to me. I'm just a poor old person. It's unfortunate this happened to me. But then by not disputing, verse 14 also tells us not disputing. And the thought here is going to one and another and creating disaffection by unwise talk and gossip. Now, this is involving other people. This is going about and stirring up trouble among other people. Hey, more churches have been destroyed by the members, so-called, than barrooms. Be careful what you say. Don't have a phone ministry. Get on the telephone and air all your griefs to some other church member and stir up something. That thing spreads like wildfire. Did you hear what so-and-so said? I just wanted to know if you heard it. If you hadn't, I'd tell you. Be careful about that. The devil uses that to destroy churches and or even to weaken churches by being blameless, verse 15 says. And this simply means being free from blame so that no one is able to accuse us. Remember Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4, and they sought to bring accusation against Daniel, but they couldn't find anything wrong with him. Let that be said of you and me. If it's told about us, let it be a lie and not the truth. So live our lives that we'll be blameless. That's the aim here. And friend, your light's going to shine. Your light's going to shine. If you'll seek to be blameless, keep yourself on the straight and narrow here. Shine your glass and clean your wick once in a while. Take a checkup. And to be harmless. Verse 15 also tells us to be harmless. This means being free from adulteration or being sincere and without guile. And a special reference to our motives. It's not only the things that we do, but God looks upon the motives for why we do things. And so it's wrong motives that prompt our actions and words that are the greater sin. By being without rebuke. Also, this is mentioned in verse 15. The idea here is living in such a way that we don't have to be checked or corrected or chastened. Check yourself from time to time. Correct yourself so the Lord doesn't have to correct us. Amen? And so by whenever he gets into it, he certainly knows how to spank every one of us, doesn't he? Knows just how to correct us and get us back in line. Because of our carelessness and our failure to judge ourselves, we become so confident in ourselves that we run off the road into the weeds. Keep it between the white lines there, friend. Straight and narrow. So be without rebuke. So live our lives that the Lord doesn't have to rebuke us and he does not have to discipline us. and bring our lives back in line with His will. By holding forth the word of life, and this is mentioned in verse 16, holding forth the word of life. There's a lot of ways to do it. The first thing that comes to mind is preaching, but there's much more than preaching. Oh yes, preachers hold forth the word of life, but there's much more than that. Seek to find a way that the Lord can use you. Maybe He hasn't called you into ministry. Maybe He hasn't called you to be a missionary or an evangelist or a pastor. But seek ways that you can serve the Lord, and there's many ways. Seek what He would have you to do. And holding forth the word of life in verse 16. And that refers to preaching the gospel and making known the wondrous ways of salvation through faith in Christ. And by personal witness. By tract distribution. Remember the guy that, the story about, you know, some of you read the story of the man who led the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, 1941. He went all the way through the war and survived. It was a miracle he survived, because almost all the Japanese pilots were killed before the war ended. This guy survived it, survived all of it. 1946, an American ex-soldier who became a missionary came back to Japan and was standing outside a subway station in Tokyo. And the subway emptied out all the people. Man, they were rushing up from down below. And this missionary handed a Japanese man a tract. The guy took the tract, stuck it in his pocket. But when he got home, he sat down and read that tract. And he got saved. This guy was a Buddhist. He got saved. And he became a world-renowned speaker in Christian circles. He was invited to many, many places to give his testimony. He became a really, really good Christian person. And it's just a one little snippet of what the Lord can do with a tract. You never know how far a tract's going to go. Now, in America, very often people will not want to take tracts. We give out tracts in a lot of grocery stores and health food stores and such, places that we go around the country. Most everyone will accept it, but sometimes they won't. They don't want anything to do with the Word of God. And but you never know what a tract's going to do. Third world countries, I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll go across the street to get that tract. They will cross the street to get a tract. Down in Guatemala, we were down there years and years ago. We went to Guatemala. Third world countries. Mexico, they're good about taking tracts in Mexico. But first world countries, where they've got so much abundance of material things, which has become their God. Material things have become their God in the first world countries. And so they think that they don't need God. What a rude awakening they're going to have. It's sad. It's really sad. And tract ministries are great ministries to have, holding forth the word of God. Informal meetings, letter writing, that's a great ministry. Our former pastor resigned the church and went into mission work. He was a former missionary in South Korea, and they were in their mid-70s. He and his wife are traveling, and and a very busy schedule. They're on I-10, and a tire blew out. If I had a van, there would be no other tire I would have on that van than Michelin. Oh, you can blow out Michelins too, but they're more unlikely. They're safer tires. GF Goodrich? You blew one of them out. The van turned over several times. He was not hurt very bad at all, but she was very badly hurt. We had just received a letter from her. And she said, she was great at writing letters. She would write letters to people, 5, 6, 7 pages letters. And it's just something about her that she liked to write letters. And she, from time to time, she would write Cheryl and I a letter. And the last letter we received from her, she said, I'm looking forward to some downtime. She was worn completely out. She died a few days later in a Mississippi hospital. Letter writing. That's a great way to have a ministry there. Think of somebody that you know that is lost without Christ. Write them a letter. Tell them about the Lord and what he's done for you. That's a great ministry. And all kinds of ministries that we can have. Informal meetings, invite people over to our home, tell them about the Lord. And so above all, such ministries must be accompanied by a consistent Christian life. The way we live speaks a lot louder than the words we speak. Living in light of the day of Christ or judgment day. Always live in light of that day of Christ. That'll keep your wick burning bright. Your glass clean. That's indicated by verse 16. And it refers to the judgment seat of Christ. And it reminds us that we're to live and labor day by day in light of the solemn time of reward or loss at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so live our lives in light of that judgment. Oh yes, we're saved by grace. Oh yes, we're not saved by works. No. We ought to be working because we're saved, not to get saved. And one day we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So live our lives day by day with that in mind. Sometime in the future, there's a judgment seat of Christ. Now, why are we to shine? Why? Well, that the Father may be glorified. Over Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why. To glorify the Father. Not only that, but that the Lord Jesus Christ might be magnified. To magnify the thing is to make it appear bigger. And Christians, by their shining witness, are to make the light so that we are to magnify him. And just as lamps magnify the light, we are to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. What? That we may be lost sight of. A lamp does not attract to itself. A lamp does not attract to itself. It's the light that attracts. And so there can be no shining without burning, and burning means sacrifice. Something's going to have to be given up. Some kind of sacrifice is going to have to be made somewhere along the line. And so it's when we're willing to let go of ourselves that Christ becomes all in all. That others might be saved. That's the object of all this. That others might be saved. We're to shine before men the red light of warning. Tell them about hell. Tell them about the consequences of Christ's life. Shine the red light of warning. There are some churches that don't want anything negative said. They want everything to be positive. All the music must be uplifting and positive. All the testimonies must be uplifting and positive. All of the preaching must be positive. Nary a negative thing said or done in any of these services, because that's how you build a crowd. Positive things. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Shine the red light of warning along with the green light of an all clear. Can't think of anything more positive than that, amen? It's all clear. Jesus paid it all on Calvary. Just for you and for me, yea, for the whole world. And so have a consistent and brightly burning life. Shine as lights in a dark world, friend. And getting darker all the time. But remember that old saying? You've heard it before. The darker the night, the brighter the light. And so, no matter how dark this world gets, shine your light. And it's going to get darker. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's going to get worse. And so, in the midst of all of that, let your light shine. I'm going to draw for you right now. What else can I draw with the lighthouse? Let's have the lights out, please. Thank you.
You may say.
Stand, please. Maybe someone here tonight that's not saved. You say, "Preacher, include me in your prayer. I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity." Is there anybody like that? Just raise up your hand, put it back down. Include me in your prayer. Father, we're grateful for your goodness, your mercy toward us. Give us strength and power for service. Help each of our lights to shine in this old dark world, and growing more so all the time. We'll give thee the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing "Just As I Am" as we sing that song. Maybe you'd just like to come and pray tonight, or this afternoon rather. Whatever your need, you come right now as we sing "Just As I Am" without one plea. Come on.
Just as I am without one plea, oh, shed for me.
Down south, they have a semblance of Bible, but then you get into the churches, you'll see it's a little different. A facade. So may God have mercy in our country.
Amen.
And we let our light shine. I forgot to announce this morning, Saturday at 5 o'clock, we'll probably get around Crown Point, the square, hold up signs, just a little stuff, Saturday at 5. So, that's where we could be a lighthouse up there for a little while. Okay, let's go to prayer. Lord, thank you for the lighthouse, the Lord Jesus Christ.